We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ken... Top seed Purdue change their fate. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The NCAA brackets are out now, Perloff. And, you know, you can't help but go to Purdue. Purdue, a team last year that was a number one seed, that had Zach Edey, who was the national player of the year on the men's side. And what happened? They become the second one seed to get upset by a 16 seed when they lost to Fairleigh Dickinson University. FDU, do you believe it? The Andrew Catalan call, which was phenomenal. But much like the University of Virginia in 2019 lost and was the first team to ever become a one seed upset by a 16 seed when they lost to UMBC, University of Maryland, Baltimore County, they came back the next year and won the whole thing. Can Purdue follow the same script that UVA did all those years ago and turn their what was rock bottom of the university losing to the 16 seed and turn around and win the whole damn thing this year?
So Purdue clearly has a blind spot. If you look at their recent tournament history, they lost to Fairleigh Dickinson last year.
Yep.
The year before that, they lost to St. Peter's. So small schools from New Jersey are kryptonite for Purdue.
Where's Princeton in this bracket?
So I looked at their bracket. Yeah. I got Utah State. I got Gonzaga. I got South Carolina. Creighton. They're fine. They're fine. They actually lost to North Texas in 21.
So
they can lose. They can lose to anyone. I actually saw Seth Davis did a story, went down there and said that Purdue has been watching tape of that Virginia team, talking about that Virginia team all year long. Just the awareness of what has happened and what can be. I have a feeling they break that trend this year. Not saying they're going to win at all, but they are not going to be the huge flop they've been, because I think mentally that coaching staff has to be in their head. Listen, you have to bring your A game early in. I feel like there's going to be a sense of desperation that is going to lift them, but you can't be that bad this long.
Listen, I don't think they're going to lose in the first round again, but let's also, yes.
I mean, I think the expectation, I think they make Elite Eight. Like, that's what I'm talking about. No, I'm not saying that, not just saying that they won't lose in the first round. I think they actually deliver on some of their promise this year. Now, to get, and the promise and the expectation is to get much further.
Well, they're a one seed. Isn't the promise the expectation to go to the Final Four?
Wow, do you even think they make the Elite Eight? I have to ask you that.
I don't think so. And here's the thing. UVA had something going for it that I don't think Purdue does, which is the style of play that UVA does is not just incredibly boring, and a lot of people were actually bummed that they even made it into the tournament this year because they were a staunch bubble team. They were one of the last four in. Going up against that kind of style of defense can really throw a lot of teams off their game. In terms of Purdue, it's a little bit more traditional. I mean, they've done a really good job this year of trying to make up for some of the holes from last season, which is primarily getting their three-point shooting in a much better spot. However, you get into the tournament and it's one game, the three-point shooting we know can always leave you.
Sure.
And that to me doesn't automatically signify, okay, we improved our three-point shooting, which is just one of the things that Purdue did. They've made a lot of upgrades, but we increased our three-point shooting. We became a more efficient three-point shooting team. Ipso facto, that means we're going to go a long way in the tournament. I never thought three-point shooting was a recipe for the tournament and for success. So forgive me if I'm not believing it. The other part, too, is Matt Painter and Purdue. Matt Painter has been one of the most disappointing tournament coaches in college basketball. And what's crazy about it is Matt Painter is an excellent basketball coach. They win so many games, number one seeds year after year. They get to the tournament, and you mentioned it, all the bad losses they've had between him and Rick Barnes. It's like a NCAA tournament flop off because Rick Barnes also has that same kind of reputation, and Tennessee won a lot of games and will win a lot of games and has one of the stars of the tournament, Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah.
I can't believe it with Matt Painter. There's something about the tournament that does not suit his coaching style, or the moment gets too big. I don't know what it is.
Do you think, though, that these trends through the history of college basketball tend to reverse themselves? I'm old enough to remember when Arizona was a famous, famous number one seed choker. Then they turn around and start to win. Kansas used to choke all the time.
Sure.
I think you do get over it. And here's my one distinction for this team. An older, more ready Zach Edey. Now, last year, in when they lost to Fairleigh Dickinson,
yeah,
Zach Edey had a huge game. Then didn't. I just read the stat. Did not get a shot off in the last 9 minutes of the game. So I think Zach Edey...
Coaching. That's coaching, too.
That's coaching. But I think Zach Edey is a little more mature, a little more competitive this year. We were talking earlier in the show about mock drafts. Nobody has Zach Edey in the top five, which has always kind of mystified me. He's huge. He's mobile. He's just not tough. Now, I would think that he would have learned some toughness at this point. Maybe I'm taking a leap of faith that isn't appropriate. I think that Zach Edey is not going to let the last 9 minutes of the game go without taking a shot. I think they're going to be more aggressive and somewhat desperate because of this terrible history.
So here's what it's here's how it's lining up here for Purdue. They're in the Midwest region, so they'll play the winner of Montana State and Grambling. That's one of the first four in that will happen in Dayton on Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm not exactly sure when that game is. And then here are the other teams that could be give them a little bit of trouble in the top half of the bracket. Kansas, but we already talked about they have some injury stuff going on with two of their top players. We got to wait and see. Gonzaga. EJ's Gonzaga Bulldogs, who are a five seed this year in the Midwest region, and this is not a great Gonzaga team. We've seen great Gonzaga teams. You want to know what? They've come up short. This could be a Gonzaga team, and EJ, you'll know more about them, where the whole is bigger than the sum of the parts type of thing, and maybe there's just a tiny bit of pressure off Gonzaga this year, and maybe that helps them. One other thing I want to bring up in this bracket, which is a lot of fun for people like me and you, and we love filling out these things, McNeese and Samford. You're talking about a 12 seed and a 13 seed. These are like the fun ones. These are like McNeese won, what, 30 games this year? These are the types of teams that you love to bet on or that you love to, you know, have as your Cinderella because you know they're great teams. The problem is I think they got a bad pull with getting Gonzaga for McNeese and for Samford getting Kansas.
Yeah,
it's a shame.
Samford is, I think, maybe the most popular 13 pick. A lot of people have Samford advancing in that game, which is weird. I feel like Purdue doesn't want to see anything to do with McNeese State or Samford. That's a game they traditionally lose.
Yeah, like there's a possibility here that the Purdue like losing to low seeds and sort of like quote unquote random schools might end up happening.
Yeah, I mean, like we just listed the three losses. It was Fairleigh Dickinson, St. Peter's, and North Texas. So I think Purdue's gonna be rooting for Gonzaga and Kansas.
The funny thing about the Gonzaga potential Purdue matchup is Purdue has washed Gonzaga twice in the last 2 years in non-conference play.
Oh, interesting.
So this has not been a good matchup for Gonzaga. They beat them early this year. They beat them early last year. The one thing about Purdue, and the last loss last year was a little different than the other ones. You had Fairleigh Dickinson playing like some kind of junk defense that essentially took Edey out of the game. I think a lot of that wasn't really Edey's fault. It was actually more probably Matt Painter and point guard Braden Smith's fault. Braden was a freshman last year. This year, he averaged 7 assists. He's one of the best point guards in the country. I think his growth will mean more for Purdue moving on than even anything happens with Zach Edey, because these late games in the tournament, crowds going crazy, tough environment. You need a guy who has the ball in his hands, who knows what he's doing. Braden was awesome last year, but he was a freshman, and I think he didn't show up in the moment playing against some wacko 1-3-1 zone. I think this year it's going to be harder to do that against a guy who's been so seasoned, has been so good down the stretch.
How far do you have Purdue going?
I think that Purdue is an elite, at least in the Elite Eight team. I have them in the Final Four right now.
Wow.
I think this bracket set up really well for them. I mean, again, they've had a lot of success against Gonzaga. I don't love the Utah State TCU matchup because neither team is a great shooting team. Kansas has a million injuries. I think they can go out in the first round. And then the bottom half of the bracket, Tennessee is not a team that scores a lot. So I think Purdue will be very comfortable playing as a team that, quite frankly, plays a lot like the Big Ten teams that are around there. Creighton has a lot of size. That would be maybe the one team I'd keep an eye on if they get all the way to the Elite Eight matchup. But I think Purdue got a great draw.
Ooh, watch out for South Carolina a little bit in that region, too.
That's funny. I have them being upset by Oregon in the first round.
Yeah,
not just because I'm a Duck supporter. I've got the Duck suit hanging in the office, and I've like jumped on to all things Eugene. But there's a stat that Dana Altman has never lost the first round of an NCAA tournament. So I'm going to go with that's going to continue. I think South Carolina, fun story. You know, I think their coach won ACC Coach of the Year. Am I right about that? SEC Coach of the Year, pardon me. But I don't think they're so special that...
But they're an SEC team, which means they have 5, 6, 9 defenders who can run everywhere. I'm telling you, you're right. That's a great stat about Oregon. But I feel like Tennessee's dying to get upset too, and Purdue and Tennessee feel like the big potential upsets, meaning that particular bracket could have a lower seed advance.
I'm telling you, between Rick Barnes and Matt Painter, pick your poison.
Exactly.
Right. But I think that they both are probably very happy with the brackets that they got. They don't have a Duke. They don't have some of these power teams in their bracket. They have teams that either haven't done it or teams that are in down years. Kansas has massive injuries. I mean, there's a reason why people are picking Stanford to win that game. Stanford gets up and down the court. They shoot a ton of threes. They shoot them at a high clip and a high efficiency. I mean, Kansas, it may be in a lot of trouble. Even if they get past first round, where they get McNeese or Gonzaga, Kansas is not really going to probably be a team that's going far in this tournament. So I think both of them got to feel pretty good. I think if there's one team that anybody should be really scared about in terms of a lower seed, I think Texas. Texas kind of had a down regular season after coming off a great season last year. But they have awesome guards. Awesome guards. Max Asemus, who's been a tournament darling in the past, now he's with Texas. He's really good. Tyrese Hunter has hit game winners this year. So that may be, if I'm looking for a team that may upset Tennessee or upset Purdue late, that would be the team I would look at.
I want to check right now what the opening line was, going back for a second. The opening line for Samford and Kansas, if you just bear with me for 1 second. Right now, the line stands at Kansas, a 7.5-point favorite. I believe this opened a lot bigger, though. Vamp for me for a moment.
Well, I mean, it makes sense that Kansas would get an early big number, considering Kansas is Kansas.
But Samford is Samford.
And Samford is Samford. But at the same time, I don't know how many people are familiar with these injuries. Hunter Dickinson, who was the biggest transfer portal player that was available this past offseason, he has suffered a dislocated shoulder. And if anybody's been paying attention to the NBA and seen what Julius Randle has been through, Julius Randle has gone for 2 months with this injury. So is Hunter Dickinson going to be ready to play in 3 weeks after dislocating his shoulder? I mean, that's very hard to believe. And McCullough Jr., who's also their second best player, he's been hurt pretty much the whole second half of the season. So
Don't have depth.
They don't. They don't. They have they have a Australian, Frumfy. He's an excellent shooter, but they're not as deep. They may lose a lot of size if Dickinson can't play, and they're going against a team in Samford who's not lost a lot, who can get up and down. And Kansas has not defended well over the course of the second half of the season. They had a bad loss to BYU. We saw what they did in the conference tournament. So there's a reason why people are down on Kansas.
So the game opened, it was actually 6.5 and it's now moved to 7.5. So I thought that was a little bit odd. I thought that it opened bigger and came down, but according to DraftKings, it did not. So Kansas getting upset in the first round, Vegas doesn't see it that way.
I saw a stat last night that number 4 seeds are 120 and 32 over the last so many years. So it's pretty rare, but last year we saw a UVA loss as a 4 seed. So it feels like this year, a 13 will win. It's so hard when you guys are filling out your bracket and you like those early upsets. How, you know, if you put, say you put Samford into the Elite Eight, you could just get completely screwed. So it's just so hard to do. Yeah, it's so hard to do it. I know. I love to be like, do you go, you know, when we used to fill this out every year at the Dan Patrick Show, you could go, everyone went upset. You wanted to be the smartest person in the room. So whoever went chalk with the top seeds usually lasted to the last weekend, because if you put a Samford into the Elite Eight, and they lose in the first round, they're like, uh-oh, there it goes.
If you're looking for long shots, you're probably better off, depending on, obviously, the matchup, and you got to take a look, but you're probably better off going with a 13-4 than a 14-3. I think the 13-4...
14-3 is impossible.
14-3 is really, really hard. The 13-4 hits a little bit more, so just a little FYI.
The 6 is the hot seed, and they go far. The 6 seeds have gotten really deep in the tournament of late years, so the 6-11 is almost even.
Well, I think one thing that will be different this year potentially with the 6-11 is most years, because of the way the bubble works, the play-in team that's in that first four is using an 11 seed. That's a team that just played 2 days ago, played a very emotional game, that has to come back and play against a much better team in 2 days, essentially. That has actually changed this year where it's a 7-10 matchup because the bubble got shrunk so much. So, for example, a team like Texas is going to be getting a maybe a team that's hot, but a team that's a little more tired in that first round. So I would be very interested to see if those six teams are getting an 11 seed that's fresh, that hasn't come off a play-in game, if those teams will have better success this year than they have in years past.
Well, here are the six seeds. You got South Carolina is six, Texas Tech is six, BYU and Clemson. Now, it's funny, watching last night, of various of those teams, there were analysts who were into all those teams. I'm looking... but the what I said six team is I meant the 11 seed. The 11 seed is the dangerous team. The six team often loses early, and the 11 seed gets far.
Yeah.
I kind of reversed that, but I think we were talking about now that you guys have Oregon over South Carolina. That might be my one. Or am I stealing that from you?
No, you could take it. I mean, but we'll
I just
both
saw South
together.
Carolina were kicking butt in that SEC tournament.
Well, and Oregon won the Pac-12.
Oh, wow.
855-212-4CBS. Okay, these brackets, the real ones on the men's and women's side, all well and good. You want to do basketball, you're welcome to it. We're going to be talking about it, of course, for the next month. Every year, Perloff and I put together our own bracket. Something that has nothing to do with basketball. Something that has everything to do with fun. And for this year, something that's going to get you up. We thought, hey, we're a morning show now, right? We got to do something that gets our audience the pep in the step, ready to go, ready to fight the day, ready to take on the day. And with that in mind, we will bring you the Maggie and Perloff March Madness bracket next. Don't move. We're back in just a moment. Welcome back to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay. We've got multiple ways that you can get involved even more with the show during March Madness. If you'd like to, EJ, why don't we retweet this right now? Our pal Nick in Texas runs the unofficial Maggie and Perloff Facebook page. We love Nick. He does a great job. He does our NCAA tournament bracket. It's awesome. You can join. It's on CBS. It's called Pearl Jam Season 3 because this is the third year of our show. So we'll tweet out that link for you and put it on social media so you can have it. It's the regular brackets, just straight up. Come and hang with us and have a lot of fun and see if you can and most likely will beat Perloff and myself getting more right. This is not a low bar. If you want to say, hey, I beat two radio hosts in a bracket challenge and you want that kind of confidence boost, we are happy to provide it for you.
And you can make fun of me if my wife beats me for the third year
in
a row.
That's right. This is, Sarah has been much better at this than you have. Okay. We also like to do an alternative bracket. And that's where we find ourselves this year. This has been a lot of work. EJ, Kaplan, you guys have gone through painstakingly. And we will reveal right now the Maggie and Perloff March Madness theme for this year. One-hit wonders. Now, Perloff,
yes.
We've broken it down into four different regions. You've got the weddings region, the last call region, the turn it up region, and the cruising region. And today we will reveal the top 1 through 16 of the weddings region of one hit wonders. So with the number one overall seed in this March Madness, this one hit wonders March Madness, we bring to you My Sharona.
All right.
That is number one seed, My Sharona. They will be taking on the 16-seeded Tainted Love by Soft Cell. Once I ran to you, now I'll run from you. This tainted love you've given, I give you all a boy could give you. Take my tears and that's not nearly all. Tainted love. Wow. We're out of the chute with a bang here.
UVA, Purdue, watch out. You got a number one seed who's in big trouble.
All right, more one-hit wonders. The Maggie and Perloff March Madness bracket. This is the eighth seed, The Macarena by Los Del Rio. Macarena.
Baila tu cuerpo, alegría, Macarena. Que tu cuerpo pa' dar la alegría y cosas buenas. Baila tu cuerpo, alegría, Macarena. Hey, Macarena.
Again, this is the weddings region. The Macarena taking on ninth-seeded Rico Suave by Gerardo.
Rico. Suave. Rico. Suave.
All right, so that is...
Both criminally underseeded, I want to say. 8-9, they definitely earned their way into the top four. Macarena should... I understand what the committee is doing here, but because it's, they probably went to too many weddings and got annoyed by the song.
Yes.
But that is an all-timer.
Just what you want to know, these first four games, these first round games starting at a wedding hall in Iowa somewhere. Okay, number five, we do on the Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonders. That's our bracket for this year. Fifth-seeded Jump Around by House of Pain.
I came to get down, so get out your seat and jump around. Jump around.
That would be Wisconsin if we're doing a comp there. So fifth-seeded Jump Around takes on 12th-seeded Bust a Move by Young MC.
Hello, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, Bust a Move. Just Bust a Move.
By the way, I will run over the caterer, get to the dance floor when this one comes on. For
I'm surprised that's a one-hit wonder because Young MC, when he came out with Bust a Move, first of all, it's the greatest song ever in 1989. I remember this. And he was obviously young by the name Young MC. You would have thought that he had another one.
He had the most literal name in sport, in maybe music history, Young MC.
Right.
It's like we were naming the show. They were like, don't overthink it. Maggie Perloff.
I think if you were going to take a draft somebody, Young MC would have been a high pick because he was so young and already came out with Bust a Move. What a disappointment. Where's old MC?
We'll have to hunt him down. We could probably rent him for like $5,000. Okay, we move on. This is the Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonders. That's our theme for March Madness. We move on. We are on the weddings region. The fourth seed, oh, it's Ice Ice Baby, Vanilla Ice. All right. Also, the first concert I ever went to. Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice taking on 13-seeded Mambo Number 5, Lou Bega.
Better Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Mary all night long. A little bit of Jessica, here I am. A little bit of you makes me your man.
This is where I apologize to America. I'm sorry that you had to start off your Monday with Mambo Number 5, but that's my personal feelings getting involved.
Well, Lou Bega, by the way, if you're going to do One Hit Wonder, I mean, does Lou Bega even have a second song?
No. This is why he's here. We are doing One Hit Wonders. Let's move on. This is the Maggie and Perloff March Madness bracket. Number 6 in our weddings region, Cheryl Lynn's Got to Be Real. All right, that is the 6-seed taking on a very strong 11-seed. It'd be Funky Town by Lip Sync.
That seems unfair. Those are actually two great songs.
I'm telling you, Funky Town is a real jam.
Yeah, and Got to Be Real is probably the best song in this whole bracket, but you're right. It's not the one. It's not a one-hit wonder necessarily like Lou Bega.
Well, these are all one-hit wonders. This is our bracket for this year. Let's move on. Number 3 seed, another very strong contender here. Tag Teams, Whoop, there
oh,
it is.
Oh, boy.
Yes, whoop, yeah.
Wow. We're getting Whoomp, There It Is, and Macarena, and Mambo Number 5 stuck in people's head.
Well, this is the weddings region, so we're trying to go with some of the things you might hear at a wedding. So Whoop, There It Is, number 3 seed taking on the 14-seeded Barbie World. All right, two more to go here in the weddings region. This is the only one we're revealing today. The Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonders bracket. Seven-seeded, Teach Me How to Dougie, Cali Swag District.
Everybody love me. Everybody love me. Everybody love me. You ain't messing with my Dougie.
Teach me how to Doug. Teach me, teach me how to Doug. Teach me how to Doug. Teach me, teach me how to Doug.
Everybody love me. Everybody love me.
All right, Teach Me How to Dougie, the 7 seed, taking on 10 seeded Walk It Out. All right, and we have made it to the final matchup, Perloff, in the weddings region, the Maggie and Perloff one hit wonder bracket. Second seed, Groove Is in the Heart. And Groove Is in the Heart will be taking on the 15-seeded, oh, this is a good one, Pump Up the Jam.
I want a place to stay. Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day. I want a place to stay. Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day. Make my day. Make my day. Make my day. Make my day.
All right, so there you go. That is the weddings region, the Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonders March Madness bracket. Again, at least 5 or 6 songs here that I would knock over an old lady just to get to the dance floor once this comes on at a wedding. Pump Up the Jam, definitely one of them.
Yeah, if this was a sports arena bracket, then Pump Up the Jam would be even higher. That's a big sports song.
So there you go. We'll be putting these out on Twitter. You can go vote. This is all user-generated, so whoever you vote on to the next round, that's who makes it. Perloff and I have very little to do with the winners here, except I will be voting because I absolutely love this. So the Maggie Perloff one-hit wonders March Madness bracket. We'll do one region a day.
That's so exciting. Yep. This is a crazy region because you got so many powerhouses in here.
Yeah.
I mean, Macarena and Tainted Love and Bust a Move and Jumper. I mean, these are all feel like, to me, I remember when all these came out, there's no bigger one-hit wonder than Groove Is in the Heart.
Well,
but there are, because they're all strong seeds.
The number one seed in this bracket is, in this region rather, is My Sharona, which a classic and also one probably a little underrated at this point. There we go. Andrew Bogish is here with some headlines. I don't know if you care to weigh in on your favorites from the weddings region, folks.
Well, I've already heard Ice Ice Baby, so congrats to the committee on getting that right. And
thank you.
But he had two hits, you could argue, but they're actually the same song. So,
what do you mean? There's a second
this
version?
This was a really big...
Play That Funky Music White Boy. You don't remember that?
That doesn't count.
Which is a cover anyway.
It was a cover.
Yeah.
But this was a lot of controversy. Perloff, you were staunch in that Vanilla Ice is not a one-hit wonder, but... Everyone in the internet disagrees with you.
No, I look back on it. No, I'm totally fine with it. The one thing is, this one hit wonder is actually Under Pressure with 3 words changed.
Right. Yes, that as well.
What's the name of the song from the Ninja Turtles movie that he did? That song was popular too.
Wait, he had Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, like, and I'm a big, as you might guess, like, Vanilla Ice was my guy back in the late 80s, early 90s, so I am somewhat offended that he was in this category.
Ninja rap is what it's called.
Yeah, but he's in this category.
Well, Maggie, that was her first concert, she said.
First
that
concert
was shocking to me.
And
you
now,
went to a Vanilla Ice concert.
Yeah, number one is in Binghamton, New York, and now I think of it from the reverse side. I'm like, man, Vanilla Ice was, like, the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Why was he booking shows in Binghamton? This was, like, at the peak.
Your fans were there.
Yeah, right. This was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Secret of the Ooze.
Okay.
Ninja rap. Didn't make it.
Yeah. All right.
So there you go. You can go to @Maggie and Pearl. You can vote on all those one-hit wonders, and we'll have a new region for you tomorrow.
It's so exciting. The question is, which song gets stuck in your head the worst? That's another thing. I mean, Whoomp, There It Is. No, if we play that another time, it's done for the day.
It's Mambo Number 5.
And that's definitely Mambo Number 5.
That's the unfortunate part of it. Because
Hey, Macarena. That one, too.
This whole picking these teams in terms of songs in terms of who should win is, are you picking the better song? Are you picking the more long-lasting song? Are you picking the better artist?
Listen, are you picking the Blue Bloods? Are you picking the mid-majors? Are you picking the Cinderellas?
It's got, or does Morehead State make you laugh? So you pick them.
I don't know. Like, vote on how this is going to be. So.
There's no right answer, EJ.
It's up to the public now. So again, you go to at Maggie and Pearl, you can vote, and whoever wins, they move on to the next round. We'll have a whole new region. We actually found 64 one-hit wonders, and we will bring them all to you over the next 4 days.
Love it.
You're welcome in advance.
Yeah.
Cut the electricity with a knife.
The selection committee isn't good at its job when the process is easy. It wasn't easy this time because of 5 bid stealers. That's an unusually high number. One of them came from the Atlantic 10 title game yesterday afternoon in Brooklyn, a game scheduled for the full 40 minutes, but somebody thought roughly 22 was enough.
My goodness. Oh, my gosh. They've got confetti falling right now. Confetti is falling on the floor. They're going to have to stop playing. We can't see our notes. The players can't work on this court. Confetti is everywhere. Somebody hit the wrong button.
Kevin Harlan and Dan Bonner on CBS, the premature exit of confetti came a few minutes after halftime, and it raised an obvious concern.
Are they going to have to reload it now for the winner? I mean, my goodness, it's...
the winner might have to go confetti-less, at least in this part of the...
Well, Dan, you're not going to go confetti-less. You're collecting it like you're going to bring it home to your grandkids or something.
My grandkids would probably like this.
It's confetti.
But you're the one who's complaining you can't see anything, so we got to clean the table off.
But rest assured, there was confetti left for the proper time to celebrate.
Now the confetti falls at the right time.
Duquesne
having a good time
celebrating in that confetti, beating VCU to dance for the first time in 47 years. But the visual.
By the way, I tweeted, "Act like you've been there before" to Duquesne. That didn't go over well.
Yes, when you said it about Dalton Connect, Tennessee is a little different.
I couldn't believe Duquesne doesn't feel like a team that hasn't been to the tournament in 50 years. It was crazy.
Did anyone else see the coach and was like, how do I know that guy? Keith Dambrot, how do I know that name? It's like, oh, right, LeBron's high school coach.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good news is now that Duquesne has been in for the first time in 47 years, Fordham now has the longest tourney drought in the A-10.
Oh,
so that was good in these
parts.
Sorry to hear.
Yeah.
That's a tough day.
It's okay.
Is it, though?
It does. I mean, we already were not good at basketball. We don't need specific reminders of it.
But it was so promising. Last season was so promising. They played so well.
And then... Yeah, and this year they lost a tight game to VCU, almost won the title yesterday. I mean, I guess the silver lining is if Duquesne can win, anybody can win. So look out, 1991 MAC team. We're coming for you.
I'm not trying to sound like a jerk. What is Fordham good at?
Fordham is actually right now good at men's basketball, relatively speaking, to where they have been. The women's program has been very, very good for the last decade.
Okay.
And softball actually is
Can I throw one in there?
Yeah.
Academically, they're doing very well these
fine.
Days.
Yeah, we're fine.
Good at broadcasting.
Yeah, Fordham's got a great law school, too.
Broadcasting is the number one.
Yeah, I mean, we like to point that out. It's not a true sport. But we do like to take credit for that.
Although Syracuse probably has you beat there.
And they love to point it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And public loves when Syracuse Northwestern people brag about their journalism school. Nothing more likable than that, Darren Revelle.
Yeah, because the media is really killing it right now.
So excited.
So again, these 5 bid stealers, and those are teams that would not have been in the bracket without winning their conference tourney, hurt the bubble teams. Indiana State, St. John's, Seton Hall, Pitt, Oklahoma, among those left out of the field. The Johnnies and Panthers, among teams that then declined an invite to the NIT last night.
Good Terrible for them.
No,
who
I'm
cares
with Pete
about the NIT? Really?
I'm on Team Spike.
No one cares.
Really? No, we can't do this. There are 19, 20-year-olds who get a chance to get out there, get more tape, play well, maybe entice NBA scouts, maybe entice other schools that may want them in the transfer portal for getting more time. Shame on Rick Pitino and shame on these guys who were mediocre, who couldn't win more than 12 or 13 games in their conference, that, sorry, we're too good for the NIT. Ole Miss and St. John's is too good for the NIT. Give me a break. Clown show by those guys.
I'm with EJ on this one. You can't decline it when it's more good basketball that you can be playing, you know? Why would you knock yourself this opportunity? Plus, you might set yourself up. You maybe get a couple wins. You win the NIT. Maybe you set yourself up for a better season next year.
It's so good, it's not in the garden anymore. So, I mean, enough with the NIT. This is a good time for students to rest. You know, they got
a whole offseason. What? They're 19.
Why can't they rest their bodies?
Wait, hold on a second.
Enough.
It's not football. Their brains aren't in danger.
I'm not kidding. First of all, I'm saying that the NIT is a waste of time. And you know what? A lot of these other tournaments, you got to pay to get into, too, as well. Enough.
But why is the NIT a waste of time for the kids who earn the right to play in a postseason tournament?
It's not a postseason tournament. They have a tournament with 68 teams. 68 teams, and they didn't make the tournament. So you know what? You move on to the next thing. You go rest, and you recover, and you come back next year. Or you get ready for the NBA draft. That's what happens here. Why do we have to have 50 other tournaments when you can't get into a 68-field tournament?
But there are players who earn the right to an NIT bid. And again, we're not talking about Duke. We're not talking about Kansas. If those teams decided, hey, you know what? We're championship caliber. The NIT is beneath us. And we say, you know what? We're going to pass because that's not the standard here. That's one thing.
Okay.
For St. John's and Ole Miss and some of these loser programs, and I'm a St. John's fan. So I'm telling you as a St. John's fan, these loser programs who barely ever make the tournament say, actually, this isn't the standard and we're too good for this. Like, those guys couldn't get the more reps or couldn't get more time to play or couldn't do more to maybe put some stuff out there for scouts to show what they can do. That is ridiculous. I'm sorry. I can't stand this.
I just think it's the arrogance of like, oh, this is beneath us. When
St. John's hasn't made the tournament in 9 years. One time in 9 years. Once.
Yeah.
Like, I know Rick Pitino has a great resume, but not at that school.
Right.
So, like, I'm sorry. The thing that St. John's is above an NIT is ridiculous. And there are seniors who perhaps could have gotten more tape out there for NBA scout Joel Soriano, this guy who's probably wanting to get drafted. Now his season's over. What if he went on a great run in the NIT? Maybe he changes NBA scouts' minds. That won't happen now because Rick Pitino is too in his feelings.
By the way, you guys are not going to like that our one-hit wonder NIT bracket was coming out on Wednesday. If you don't like this, jeez.
No, I just... But
that's
on,
what the regents are, in a dark room, in a dark place.
Lil Romeo's making the NIT one-hit wonder
enough
bracket.
Tape? I mean, there's 30 other games you can gather tape from. Are you going to gather tape from NIT tournament? That's a couple games?
How many times, Pete, do we see people improve their draft stock because of games that are played after the regular season? The idea that these guys couldn't help their stock, especially you're talking about guys who maybe this is all they have. They're probably not first-round picks. They're probably not lottery picks. So you do have an opportunity to play four or five more games that are televised, that people will watch, that people will scout. And you can also build your team up for next year. Some of these teams, I know a lot of these teams will have a lot of guys in transfer portal. Some of these teams won't. So the idea that you won't have this kind of experience in that playing in that postseason kind of atmosphere and thinking that you're too good for that when you're a team that never makes the postseason I don't get it, and I think it's really disappointing. And I'm also disappointed because the NIT made the rules different recently, so that these teams that are from lower conferences that would have been automatic bids, now they're not. They said, okay, these Power 5 schools want to decline. You know what? Fine. We'll give you guys more automatic bids. And then St. John's and Ole Miss of the world and Pitt of the world, they still don't want to play. So now you're taking away spots from other teams that should have been automatic qualifiers and now won't get the opportunity. Instead, some other terrible Big East school, some terrible SEC school gets in. No, like, that is wrong. It's just wrong.
Yeah, see, that's where I get down to team spite, because the NIT did it dirty, and then they're still not getting what they want. So I'm happy that schools are not going. That's not why they're doing it, but I'm glad they're not going, because it makes the NIT look dumber, because they screwed, as EJ just said, all these smaller conference teams.
Yeah.
But if you're going to fight for more spots, shouldn't you then fill those spots? Like, how is that on the NIT? Like, I agree, the NIT should not have made that decision. But once the decision is made, because those Power 5 schools were crying and complaining, once that decision is made, then show up, okay? Show up to the tournament. You can't complain we need more spots in the NIT to make it worth our while, and nobody wants to play. Come on.
I thought it was a bad look from Patino, bottom line. But we got more headlines. We have time for one more.
Sure. I can tell you that the Boston Celtics won last night, 130-104 in Washington. And Dodgers manager Dave Roberts says Shohei Ohtani will begin a throwing program once the team returns from South Korea. Two season opening games with the Padres Wednesday and Thursday, despite Pete's objections. Ohtani is, of course, coming off Tommy John surgery. He may play the field before this season ends, but will not pitch, as we know, no matter what. Now back to you guys.
Did you know that Dylan Cease, who just got traded from the White Sox to the Padres, he actually flew to South Korea? He's not even pitching.
No, I think he did
pitch.
Good
for him.
Oh, he did? I thought he didn't pitch, and they were just going for, like, team building or whatever.
No, they're playing, like, you know, they're playing more exhibition games. And yeah. I could have sworn I woke up to quotes from Mike Shildt saying, wow, he's better than I thought.
Oh,
glad we got him.
Because they definitely had James Paxton stay back because he wasn't pitching. And I thought they wanted Cease, or he decided to go just for the, hey, we're all in South Korea.
Yeah, I mean, he's not, I don't think he's going to pitch in the two games that count.
Right.
But I think he pitched maybe, and the time difference is all over the place. But I think he just pitched against a team from South Korea.
Oh, but in an exhibition.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's a long way to go for team building.
Oof,
I'd be like, yeah, I'll catch you guys back in San Diego.
Apparently, he made this flight on his own.
Right.
He's the one that went and did this, which is, again, really awesome from him.
Coming up, we've got more on the NCAA tournament on the men's side. We're picking out Cinderellas. We'll do that next. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff, CBS.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. If you want to play along with some of the fun things we're doing during March Madness, you can always do our NCAA tournament bracket, which is run by our pal, Nick in Texas, a listener of the show who created the Perloff Season 3 Pearl Jam bracket. You can go to our social medias. You can find that. You can also play along with the Maggie and Perloff One-Hit Wonders bracket. That's our March Madness bracket, a little bit different theme, and you can go vote or in our chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, twitch.tv/CBS Sports Radio. There is a link there as well. So you're many, many different ways to find us and all the fun things we're doing. Perloff, in terms of Cinderellas for the men's side of the bracket, who are some that you love, and do you want these Cinderellas going to the Final Four, or do you prefer more Blue Bloods once we get down to the nitty-gritty?
Yeah, I'd like to see, after last year, I'd like to see Blue Bloods at least alternate. We had our Florida Atlantics last year going all the way to Final Four. And honestly, it wasn't a great Final Four because UConn just smashed everybody. So the ones, teams I have advancing earlier, not huge shocks, but I really like James Madison. Watch a little bit of them. And it's, let's face it, James Madison is this new sports powerhouse, football too. And I think
they'll be taking out Wisconsin. Right. Second round matchup would be the winner of Duke and Vermont.
I feel like Wisconsin and Duke are two traditional powerhouses that are super vulnerable right now. Duke is, I've watched a lot of Duke this year. They are not normal Duke. And then the other one, and help me out with this one. I like Samford against Kansas. Been hearing a lot about that. Then McNeese State against Gonzaga. The team that I would advance is Samford. You know, listen, I'm not an expert on Samford, but I feel like if you listen to enough experts and try and collate that information, just so much buzz about this team. And listen, they could walk in right now and I wouldn't know who they were, but Samford is the hot 13 seed. So I actually have them advancing further than McNeese.
For me, I like, you know, if an 11 seed can count as a Cinderella, which I know is a little bit on the cusp, but I do like Oregon to advance over South Carolina, and I would like Oregon to give Tennessee a real run. That's in the bottom of the Midwest region. I'm also going to finally pick Colgate. Colgate has been that team out of the Patriot League. They got a opening round game against Baylor. The 14 threes are very, very difficult. But gosh, I mean, Colgate's been going to the tournament all these years. They never win anything. Don't you have to break through at some point to win a game? So that's one that I also like. I'm with you on the top half of the Midwest region. Not Samford against Kansas necessarily. But what about McNeese against EJ's Gonzaga, Bulldogs? McNeese is another one of those teams because they won 30 games this year that people are very high on. And you're right about James Madison. We've seen a lot of that.
Well, one thing, too, if we can't ignore the historical trends. It does feel like lower seeds. I mean, this is not science. 2 years ago, we had Kansas, North Carolina, Duke, and Nova. So, but the trend towards the lower seeds has been pretty strong. So the other thing, too, it's really hard to predict. When you're looking at your bracket, just without even going into details, do you think you're going to end up with blue blood heavy, top seeds heavy in your Final Four, or are you going to have a dog going all the way?
I can tell you, I think UConn is going to be UConn will be the only one seed I will have going to the Final
Love
Four.
It.
Yeah. New Mexico, also an 11 seed that I like. Just got to get past that, get past Clemson and then see what happens there. They're in the bottom half of the West region.
I do not have UConn in my Final Four. Bum, bum, bum.
Whoa. All right, coming up, major quarterback news from over the weekend. We get to that next. Don't move.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.